welcome back to the Best of Radio Go Series 1. This is part 2. We've got 5 more clips from the very first series of Radio Go to show off for you. Some of my personal favourites. Oh, I'm your host, Riley Routh, by the way. This is not a normal episode of Radio Go, but it is instead a collection of some of the very best that I think that Radio Go has to offer. Hope you're doing well out there. If you haven't heard part 1, I can't imagine why you would choose to listen to part 2 first. That's, frankly, like, psychopathic behaviour. Madness. Like, you're allowed to. There's no rules against it. But, what the hell? Really. But it truly doesn't matter, because there isn't, like, a countdown here. We're not counting down to the best clip or anything like that. These are just 10 total clips that I like, that I wanted to show you. But on the very off chance that you've never heard Radio Go before, here's what you need to know. It's an interview show. I interview people in character. We improvise. We don't know what we're going to talk about until we're talking about it. And there's usually complete chaos. I'll be here to introduce and indeed outroduce each clip and maybe give you a little bit of behind the scenes for each one. The chaos that I mentioned is perhaps most relevant for this first clip. This is from episode 17. It's an episode called Shiny Rocks. It features 2 performers. It features Harriet Wilmer Richards and Ash Routh playing Flatchley and Cribbins. Now, I'm going to tell you this right up top. When I introduce the characters on the show, I always ask for the name, and I also ask for either an occupation or a description, something that I can just use as a very basic thing. And telling this to guests, often they would try to give me too much information. You know, they would want to explain the premise, and I always wanted to stop people and say, no, we'll explain the premise in the interview. I don't want that to be part of, you know, my introduction. I always try to get them to give me the least funny possible option. For reasons unclear, Flatchley and Cribbins, Harriet and Ash wanted to describe them as dusty children, which is not a job at all, but we loved the phrase so much that we used it really at every opportunity. So please enjoy this clip from episode 17, Shiny Rocks, with Harriet Wilmer Richards and Ash Routh. Anyway, look, we're back in the studio here. Flatchley, Cribbins, have you had a chance to I know you are.
I'm Cribbins.
Yeah, don't worry. It's been established. Your names and voices are extremely consistent.
Oh, I think I've found my northern again.
Have you? Are you sure?
You're certainly...
All right.
You're circling it like a mouse around a drain.
I said I'm from the Midlands.
Yeah, here's the thing. You think you found it, but every time Cribbins talks, you lose it again.
I think you're in the sea
somewhere. I hate Cribbins.
I'm wondering if Cribbins has cast a magic spell that means that every time that you talk...
Cribbins, you bastard!
You sound like him.
I haven't cast a spell because that'd be too high.
I know
concept.
What you like, Cribbins.
We're doing low concept.
We wouldn't want high concept, would we?
We were told in low concept.
That's true. Just a pair of dusty children.
Do you know what? I feel like you could have... You've grouped us together there, yeah. And you've called us children, and you've focused on the fact that the particular labour that we do happens to make us dusty.
Well,
I should have come in my Sunday best.
That would have been... I appreciate it.
I am wearing my Sunday best.
Oh, boy, really?
You need to join a union, mate.
I'll be honest with you, Flatchley, Cribbins, excuse me.
Don't confuse us. We're very different, and I've got a northern accent.
I've got more money. And an actual Sunday best.
You are actually earning quite a lot.
You're extremely.
I was given threepence on Thursday.
And you're earning more than me, and I'm a famous radio show host.
I don't think threepence is even an accepted currency subdivision anymore.
It's really hard to get sweets at the local shop with threepence.
I was in a threepence once. It was very emotionally difficult to navigate.
Yeah, you got to manage your timetable.
You do.
It's difficult.
Yeah, it's very important. Listen, Flatchley, I assumed that you knew Cribbins before you came in. Is that like you seem to have an existing animus? Where did the two of you meet?
At a child labour convention.
Yeah, I was born there, and I came out, and he immediately took a dislike to me.
I took one look at those eyes, and I said, "That's a bastard right there."
How old were you at this time?
I was 3. I'd just started working on me on my door shift.
Yeah.
Or well, no, I'd started when I was two. But like,
yeah, let's keep this internally consistent, for God's sake.
Sorry. But
relatively recently.
I was relatively recently had started at my door job.
Yeah.
And I was like, I should probably, you know, do some networking. Mm-hmm. So I went to this child labour convention. Mm. I saw this bastard.
Being,
I was in a basket
born.
As well.
He was
in
a baby.
He was. He was in a basket of all things, lazy bugger.
So I literally, I still had a tube attached to me.
So your mother was at the child labour convention, 9 months pregnant, ready to give birth.
I was still umbilically entwined.
Couldn't even be asked to chop the cord.
I didn't have any teeth.
You learned to use a pair of scissors. Those child scissors that have got the wiggly lines on
I
them.
Think
the
I
man was the keynote speaker at the convention.
On what subject? What area of expertise?
You were a keynote speaker.
Joining a bloody union.
Sure, yeah.
It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
Flatchley, can I venture a suggestion here?
Aye.
Cribbins over here is clearly doing very well for himself. He's in a good job, has a lot of great benefits, a lot of pay, and looks a whole lot better for it. But is significantly younger than you. Yeah. I mean, relative to the rest of your life. My point is... Is it not possible that maybe you're feeling a little bit of insecurity in your own position that you're projecting outward onto Cribbins?
How dare you! I don't have a single feeling. I've never had a feeling. I've only known darkness.
I'll collapse of mine on your head, you bloody non-union bow.
Oh, you
down! Oh, boy. Okay, oh, the kids are getting a little nasty.
It.
No.
I'll stick a pickaxe right
I'll crush
in your
beneath
skull.
The earth.
Oh, my God. Flatchley's drawn a pickaxe.
You'll be swallowing rocks.
Cribbins has drawn a broom. I don't think
I'll
this is going to go well
for him.
I'll
stick your chimney and light a fire under you.
I've got a 401k. What have you got? I've invested in my retirement.
I'm a hard worker, and I know my worth.
You'll be dead before you're 15.
Oh, my goodness. Flatchley and Cribbins from Shiny Rocks, episode 17, starring the great Harriet Wilmer Richards and the great Ash Rouse. Oh, it makes me so happy. So we recorded two episodes that day. There was another one that we released earlier in the season where Ash was introduced as the only guest, and then Harriet's idea was to come in as a future version of that same character through a time portal, and it was very funny. I really enjoyed it, but it didn't make a lick of sense. It was just complete madness start to finish. And so between recordings, I gently suggested to them maybe we could do something not quite so high concept, which you can hear Ash not so subtly refer to in that clip. Next up, we have a clip from episode 20, the 20th episode that we did this year, the final one. The episode is called Tall Poppy, and it features Terry Silver playing Jeremiah Stronghold. Terry was probably my favourite guest, and I don't like to play favourites, but if I did, it would be Terry. They are just so funny. They were on the wavelength of the show just immediately. Their first episode with Rizzler is another fantastic one, but I thought I'd highlight this one just because this particular clip makes me really happy. It's Jeremiah Stronghold explaining to us how his powers of fortune telling, how they came about, as well as how he's used them in the past. Enjoy. Live on the air, and you're a fortune teller. How long have you been doing this job?
Oh, well, in many ways, my whole life. But in more specific ways, the 23rd of June, 2024.
That's... Okay, so you've not actually been doing this a very long time,
Jeremiah. I didn't realise I had the power.
Oh, but had strange things been happening around you all your life?
So many things. Yes.
Really? Tell us one of those things.
Well, ever since I was a wee lad, I've been able to predict certain things. I think we can all make certain assumptions about the future, but mine very, very often came true.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
What's a specific example?
I predicted my parents breaking up.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's sad. I'm sorry to hear that.
I predicted punching that guy in the face.
Which guy?
He's just like a guy at the bar. He's such a... What? Really annoying.
And you punched him?
I punched him,
what,
yes.
What did he do exactly to... first of all, that's not a prediction about your own actions. Like, that doesn't
it
count.
It was an accurate prediction, actually.
Sure, but you're the one who caused it to happen, right? It's not like you predicted something
it's
that's
funny
outside
you say that. So, how it works is...
Oh.
There's different planes of existence.
Oh, right. Not like airplanes. Because I did meet a pilot once.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, that's right. His name was Quentin. Cared a lot about the royalty. I don't remember a lot else about him.
Oh, you'd need more than a Boeing 747 to get to these planes.
Oh, mystical.
It's what I like to call... There's what I like to call the scrump plane.
Ooh.
And that is the plane of reality that you know it as.
Oh, this plane that we're
this
currently...
This current one that you can see, smell, taste.
I can taste it.
And then there's the spum plane.
Oh, which is different from the scrump plane.
Yes, very different. Very different.
And what happens on the spum plane?
That, it's like the timelines of your existence are all visible. Yes, every decision you've ever made, every packet of crisps you ever opened.
You're our second guest to obsess over crisps.
Just an example.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Every time you ran through a potato field and thought, I wonder how crisps are made, and then later you looked it up.
Sure, of course. We were all young once.
Have all led you to where you are now.
Uh-huh.
And I can continue reading it to see where you're almost definitely going to end up, you see.
I see. So you were able to predict that this guy in the bar who was... what was he annoying you about?
He's like one of those flashy guys who shows up.
Yeah.
He's got... shaved head, but like in a cool way,
right? Like who can kind of pull it off?
Yeah,
he doesn't look bold. He looks shaved.
It's like a style.
I know. Do you feel like you wish you could pull that off? Because I quite like my hair, but sometimes I do wonder what.
Yeah, I just know that I wouldn't look good.
No,
with a shaved head,
I just know
it's one of those.
Yeah,
rely too much on my hair.
Yeah, no, me too, big time.
What was the question?
Why did you punch him? What was he doing to you specifically to bother you?
He was buying everyone drinks.
Oh, sounds like a real jerk.
Just so much. And he had a flashy suit on.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Oh, okay, ridiculous. Yeah.
Someone needed to bring him down a peg or two. And it turns out, yes. I predicted accurately, that someone did.
And it was you.
It was me.
You punched
him. That time, yeah.
And then what happened? Did he call the cops?
I ran away.
Oh, really?
My tail betwixt my legs.
Figuratively.
Fast as the night could carry me, which I also predicted.
I see. Okay. The one and only Terry Silver as Jeremiah Stronghold, fortune teller there. One thing I really enjoy in... I mean, I love everything about that clip, but one particular thing that I tried to do where possible in the show... was sort of bait the performer into just giving a real answer. So when I'm asking Terry about their hair, about whether they'd look good with a shaved head, that's just me and Terry having a conversation, which I think is funny to like, they're not, the performer isn't breaking character, but they're also not in character at the same time. In case it's not clear, we are jumping around in time here, and that's really, it's just for fun. You know, there's no continuity to our show, not especially. But we are going to go all the way back in time now to episode 2 of Radio Go. This one is called Painting in Heaven, and it features Stevie Yardy playing Madame Crystal Peaks. Crystal Peaks, by the way, this is a reference that only people in Sheffield will find funny. There is a shopping centre called Crystal Peaks out here, but it's also just sounds like a good name for a fortune teller, or not a fortune teller, excuse me, a medium, a similar supernatural theme to Jeremiah Stronghold. We had a couple of, you know, that's a good space for, I think, for us to play in, but Crystal Peaks is firmly a medium. This clip it features the turn. You know, I was talking earlier about somebody wanting to give too much of the premise to me early on. Stevie, who is absolutely fantastic. She's so quick with her wit. You're gonna hear it for yourself. But she wanted to tell me the premise of this character, not just the job, but she wanted to tell me kind of what she expected to happen, and I had to kind of stop her and say no. Let's learn about it as we go. So that's what you're gonna hear. Enjoy.
Oh, you see, the ghosts on the other side, they themselves, they see all, and they whisper it into my ears.
Do they?
So if I were to... And other places as well.
Could we do a little test, maybe?
You know what? I'm surprised we haven't already, because sometimes people doubt.
You're such a fascinating person.
Yes.
But I do think, just for the sake of any listeners out there who might be sceptical, what I'd like to do, perhaps, is... I've got my notebook here.
Of course.
And I'm going to draw a picture. And I wonder if you can intuit, I'm drawing it now, maybe you could intuit exactly what it is that I'm drawing.
I will need to connect with the other side in order to do so.
Be my guest, do you need anything from us?
I would need silence.
So sorry.
A square.
Yeah, it was
a square.
It was a square. Yeah, it
a
was
a square.
I mean, it was the start of a TV.
Yes,
but I knew that.
You see, I was speaking to a previous radio producer living here.
Yes,
drive time, Derek.
Oh
yeah,
yes. We've heard about him.
Yeah. If I'm honest,
wow, the spirit of drive time, Derek.
Yes, you knew. I didn't even say that. Wonderful.
Yeah, well, yeah, we have history.
To be honest, I would like to prove it to you further.
Oh, okay.
I really would.
Absolutely.
You see, in a place like this, where the spirits, they flow through like a river, and I want to pick a spirit close to you.
Ooh, okay.
Do you have a relative that I can commune with?
I suppose so. My grandmother died, probably about 4 years ago.
Okay.
Now.
Wonderful news.
No, usually people would say, I'm sorry for your loss.
Not in this business, my dearie. Every goodbye to you is a hello for me. You see, that's how it works. So, what is your grandfather's name?
My grandmother was called Patricia.
Patricia?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll speak to Patricia. The way it works is, on the other side, it rings like a telephone, so we'll just... Someone's... I can feel her. She's going to answer the phone. She's going.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello?
Oh.
There was this old lady trying to answer the phone, and
You're not
no,
my grandmother.
No, I'm
Who
not.
Are you?
This has happened a few times. Just let me clear up some confusion.
Oh,
there was an old lady being hesitant at the phone, and I knocked over a ladder. It knocked over a couple of books. That knocked over a can of paint. Fell on her head, and she's knocked out on the floor. So you've got me.
What on earth? Hold on. This is so much information. For the benefit of the listener, Crystal Peaks' body appears to have been taken over.
I prefer Nedowal, to be honest.
It's been taken over, possessed by somebody. That voice, Tom, is strangely... Isn't that weirdly familiar? I know it's not a relative. You're not related to the woman who you just knocked out inadvertently.
I don't think so,
through a series of comical mishaps.
I've got a brother called Paul.
Your brother and...
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
I think so.
Well, it's Barry Chuckle.
Hello.
Wait, are you Barry Chuckle?
Well, last I checked.
From the Chuckle Brothers?
I think so.
My goodness.
Do you have any windows you need cleaning? I've been out of business for a while, to be honest.
Well, yes, but this is... I mean, this is unbelievable. Not only do we have an actual... spirit possessing our guests, but it's the spirit of beloved children's entertainer and famously dead Chuckle brother, Barry Chuckle.
That you pretty much summed it up there.
that's right on the money. Barry, look, my name is Riley. I'm the host of a radio show, a famous radio
Lovely
show.
Lovely to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. I wonder if you wouldn't mind, while we've got you.
Absolutely.
I imagine that this isn't going to last too long, that eventually Crystal Peaks will take control
of
her body.
Listen, she's clawing from the back of her mind, but I've got her in a cupboard somewhere, so she's out for the foreseeable, don't worry.
Well, that's grim, but it's good news for us. I wonder, could we interview you? Could we have a chat?
Are we live?
Yes, this is live right now.
It's been years since I've been on the radio. radio. They don't have it in the afterlife, you see.
Oh, goodness. Look. Stevie Yardy playing Madame Crystal Peaks, as well as the disembodied, possessed spirit of Barry Chuckle in a compelling double bill. Some background on that one. I'd never met Stevie before we did that. I saw her do some emceeing for Quacks, the queer comedy stand-up show here in Sheffield, and thought she was so funny and so, like, her sense of humour was so kind of linked up to mine that I knew that we'd be on the same wavelength if I put her on the show. So we chatted a little bit on Instagram and we met. I mean, I'd seen her, but we'd met for the first time when it came to record this episode. I wonder if you can tell a little bit. Tom didn't know her either. So we were kind of trying to figure it out as we went along, but it didn't take long for us to kind of slip into a really good rhythm that I'm so pleased with. So Stevie's original pitch was to play both Chuckle Brothers and play them both as trans, but do some comedy slapstick where they kept accidentally forgetting each other's new names and pronouns and figuring it out. Some of that remained in the like episode that we ended up actually doing, but while I was initially on board with that idea, we realized it would probably be too chaotic, and I think I was proven right when we get to the Greg Fenderson stuff later in the series. Tom, for his part, didn't know that the Barry Chuckle thing was coming, which I did, and so he was absolutely amazed when Stevie busted out this near perfect Barry Chuckle impression. I believe the Chuckle Brothers are from Rotherham, which is where Stevie lives, so that probably helped. But not only does she do that great impression, but it's also just so different from the Madame Crystal Peaks voice, which she also does brilliantly. I'm so upset. She's so talented. What a pain in the ass. Next up, we're going to hear episode 15, which is called Hello Children, and it features Pierre Finnamore playing Quigley Runaway, the life coach. I think it's our longest episode that we did, and I did that a little bit self-consciously because Pierre's first episode had gone well, and I thought we could try running a bit longer and see if we could get something else out of it, you know, if we could squeeze the improv stone a little bit more. As it turns out, we could, but in a very unexpected way. We're going to hear the clip that makes me laugh almost more than anything else on the show. This starts as the off-air clip where I'm chatting to Tom. Me and Tom would develop this dynamic as the show went on, where each episode, after the first part of the interview, I would have the chat with Tom, and he would have to figure out essentially whose side he was taking for the episode, whether he would think the guest is great and that I was wrong, or if he would be on my side and we would both agree that the guest was a bit weird in some way. And then finding the nuance within that was kind of part of the game. In this episode, I had so firmly registered my disgust with Quigley as a character in the first part that Tom kind of had no choice but to be, like, completely on board with it. I say no choice. That's what he ended up doing, but it was also a funny choice on his part. So we argue about that, and he ends up trying to play me one of his YouTube videos. I can't explain what happened. Just listen to it. So Tom, look, I wanted to talk to you about this guy because I don't think he's a good dude.
I think he's a genius.
No, Tom, didn't you hear the story about him, like, corrupting judges so that he can get away with doing illegal things?
But, like, that's part of the process. You should be connected with the law.
Yeah, that's true. That is one of the...
And also, don't judge.
Well, I'm trying not to judge, but at the same time, there have to be limits, right? If he was out and out murdering people, you would have a problem.
You've just stumbled across step 9.
Oh, have I?
There are no limits.
Oh, all right. I feel like we should let Quigley introduce the steps on air, but I guess while you're here...
Yeah, well, you keep saying them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I suppose, like, what it sounds to me is that any sane and moral person has raised these objections to Quigley before, and he's just come up with these rules as sort of like faux intellectual rebuttals.
Have you seen him on YouTube?
I haven't.
He is amazing.
Oh, look, you've got a video of him there. Let me just click play.
Hello, children.
Pause. Hang on. Why are you showing me this video?
That was just an ad.
Okay. Well, let's play. Hold on, this is a really short song, so we do have to get back on there.
Okay.
But I do want to hear this.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Radio Go! That was Miss Provocateur by Piri and Tommy. What a funky little tune that was. And during the break there, I was just having a lovely little chat with my producer, Tom. And normally I don't let him talk on mic, but I'm going to make a special exception because we were having a fascinating conversation, an intellectual conversation about the various merits of today's guest, Quigley Runaway. Quigley, welcome back. You got your coffee there, I see.
Yeah, burned myself quite badly.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. The machine has... did you use the red machine?
Yeah.
Yeah, that machine hasn't been working for years now, I think. I mean, it does work if your end goal is to burn yourself.
It's just gouting out hot, boiling water all over my hands.
Yeah, it does that.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Yeah. We've been trying to get somebody to see it, but the station manager isn't taking our calls. No. Anyway, Tom, you had a... You had a YouTube video there.
Oh, yeah.
That you wanted to play to us.
Yeah.
There was an ad at the start. So listeners, bear with us. We'll just get through this ad and then we'll get to... this is one of Quigley's own YouTube videos.
Yes. Yeah.
Tom, go ahead and press play on that.
Press play on it now, yeah.
Hello, children.
Oh, hi, I'm Quigley.
Short of pause. Hold on. That is a short ad.
That was a short
shit. It was not clear to me what that ad was advertising.
No.
Is there any sidebar? Is there anything there that says is there anywhere we can get more detail?
No, it has
about this child greeter.
It has just the side of the video. It comes up with just a question mark behind a static background. You click on it, nothing happens.
Oh.
So
that's so weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you do me a favor, Tom? Just because I know you've got your app there connected to the system. Just type "Hello, children" into YouTube, and I just want to see if we can find out any more information. Because now Quigley, we'll get back to you, but I'm curious about this.
Hello, children.
Yeah, Tom types with one finger at a time. Any luck? Can you see the static background on the question mark, Tom?
I know what that is. We should go back to the video.
Hold on. You just paused for a really long time, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Go on, play the video. Let's see. I'm really curious, and I'd love to find out more.
Yes. Join me. My name is Rumpelgorgon. Enter my bag, children.
Hold on. Pause the video.
Yeah, yeah.
Rumpelgorgon. You know about this?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fascinated. Tell me everything you know, Tom.
It's a... Rumpelgorgon is a cryptid from the east of Kent.
That's amazing. Quickly, did you know about this?
Oh, yeah.
Let's play more of the video. Let's see if you know about this. Quigley, did you really... You've seen this before?
Yeah, I'll hold your nutcracker. It's the you know, have you ever heard of the nutcracker?
The ballet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I haven't.
Well, it's all about that.
The brilliant and unbelievably patient Pierre Finnamore as Quigley Runaway there, as well as the voice of Rumpelgorgon, the figure on the YouTube pause, on the YouTube ads. What happened there was, in the off-air section, I encouraged Tom to play me the video, and I pointed at Pierre to cue him to be the voice of himself, thinking he would do a part of a Quigley video. Instead, he comes out with this terrifying voice and this horrible whisper, and he says, "Hello, children." And we had to roll with it and go from there. Now, since then, we've recorded a couple of episodes for Series 2 already, coming out later this year. More about that shortly. But since then, I sort of haven't been able to stop myself from cueing our guests into playing various video versions, either of themselves or somebody else, just because it was so completely delightful here. And then after the fact, I added that little filter in so it sounds like it's coming through a phone. But when you hear me talk about pausing the video and then cutting over to talking to Quigley and then immediately going back to Rumpelgorgon, that's just me screwing with Pierre, making him do the voice and switch voices as quickly as he can. And he was so game and really kind of evolved that bit into something kind of special. You should check out that whole episode if you haven't, because I think for me it's the one that kind of reaches the full potential of what a Radio Go episode can be, finding all the nooks and crannies of a character and the conversation. Pierre was also one of two guests that we had at the live show that we did back in March of this year, which we tried to record the audio for and couldn't get a good recording. We have the audio, but we didn't mic the audience, so it doesn't sound like there's anybody there. it just sounds like we're playing to absolute silence, which, you know, I didn't really want to put out. But he was fantastic there, and he will be back, of course, in series two, possibly as a character we've seen before, possibly as a new character. Who's to say? Look, we've just got one more clip left in our best of here. This is a clip from episode 7, which is called Down Duffel Renner. This episode features James Lickman, my brother, as Ephraim Dijon, the movie critic. We're going to hear the very first part of the interview, and I'm putting this clip last, not necessarily because it's the funniest thing that happened on the show, but it probably is the moment in the show where me and Tom and the guest all completely failed to keep our shit together when the premise of the bit was being uncovered. I really, you know, I try to be to find a balance between letting our guests laugh and enjoying the feeling of laughter. You know, I never want the show to feel too sterile. I also don't want it to feel self-indulgent, you know, so I'm always trying to find a balance, both in the recording and in the editing. Here, there was no cutting around it. We just completely dissolved into helpless giggles as Ephraim continued to talk. James is hysterical. He's been funnier than me his whole life. It's really annoying. But I knew that when I started this podcast, I wanted him to come and be on it, because not only... obviously, we have years of comic chemistry from growing up together, but also we have so many of the same comedy touchstones, references and sensibilities kind of built out of the same stuff. So please enjoy this final clip. This is from episode 7 of Radio Go. Please welcome to Radio Go film critic Ephraim Dijon.
Riley, thank you very much.
Oh, Ephraim, fantastic to have you. Really, really appreciate you making the time. You must be busy. Is this between screenings for you?
Well, of course. I mean, we're seeing screenings, you know, every day, at least sort of 4 and 5 in a standard working day, I'd assume.
You'd assume?
One would assume, if you were talking about me to somebody else.
I presume you don't have to assume, though, because it is your job.
No, well, of course, I don't have to assume. It's my job.
No. Yeah, that's just what I said.
I thought it was what I said.
Well, now it's what we've both said.
Well, we've both said it.
We can agree on that.
We can agree on that.
All right, Ephraim, thanks so much for joining us. Maybe you can come back next time when you figured out what... when you figured out what it is that you've said versus what it is that I've said.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
No, Ephraim, I want you to stay.
Oh, sorry.
Wow, you were getting on your duffel coat there so quickly. That's really impressive.
When one moves between screenings, keeping warm is most important, and that's where I find a really good, strong down or a duffel. Find that particularly effective.
Okay. How much of your, like, the job of a film critic would you say is in the selection of attire?
37%.
Okay, great. That's fantastic. And the rest is watching films and then writing.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, yeah, watching watching comedies, yes. watching dramas.
Yes.
Shout them out.
I think you've got it there. I think
that was the two. Yeah,
those are the two.
Did you want? Sorry, did you want us to shout out some specific films?
Well, yeah, yes.
There's
as good a place to start as any.
Tenet, the Christopher Nolan film. Why was that the first film to come to mind?
I've not seen that one.
Really,
you've not seen Tenet?
No,
it's the best film ever made.
I guess it was in that pandemic era. It was kind of I could see.
Oh well, the pandemic. The pandemic was a wash for anyone. So I haven't seen that.
All right, fair. Well, we could move on.
The David Bowie tennis movie.
The David Bowie tennis.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Tenet. Yeah, we plays tennis online. Have you not seen this,
Tom? I say this with all due respect. Oh. Shut up. Look, Ephraim, maybe we could talk about some recent films. There's been, of course, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has reached another great peak with the Thunderbolts this year. Thunderbolts asterisk the new Avengers. What did you think of that one?
Well, I thought it was fantastic. I think personally, sorely lacking from the disappearance of Jeremy Renner.
Was he supposed to be in that one?
I haven't seen it.
You missed Thunderbolts.
No, but I assume he wasn't in it.
No, you assumed correctly. He wasn't in it.
Yeah, no one knows where he's gone.
No, yeah, he has vanished.
Which I think is really a sincere loss for cinema around the world.
Right, well, you said it with such authority. I have no choice to believe you. So far, though, I can't help but notice we are 0-2. On films you've seen.
Has it only been two?
Has only. It feels like more. Perhaps let me throw it back to you. Could you just tell us your favourite film that you have seen recently? What's really stuck with you?
Well, you know, if I was going to pull something off the top of my head, then I would have to say Mission Impossible 4 Ghost Protocol.
You saw this recently?
Yes, just a few days ago, actually.
Oh, okay. And was this at one of your screenings?
No, well, a screening at home in my own sort of setup. Any self-respecting critic has their own sort of home setup.
All right. And what was it that you enjoyed so much about Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol?
Well, I think, to be perfectly...
yeah?
To be perfectly candid, I think the inclusion of Jeremy Renner... was a stroke of genius by director Brad Bird.
Really?
The levity and charisma that he brings is second to none.
Yeah.
Third to Simon Pegg.
Sure. So, so the ranking goes Jeremy Renner, nobody, Simon Pegg.
Yes, I think that's accurate.
James Legman, bringing us home as Ephraim Dijon here on the Best of Radio Go Series 1 Part 2. Thank you so much for listening, not only to these episodes, these best ofs, but to Radio Go as a whole. If you have been, we're so thrilled that people enjoy this show, the people who are listening. We've had so many nice comments. We put so much work into it, me and Tom and all of our guests, and it's just... really special. I'm going to ask again, because we did ask at the end of part one, but if you made it this far, you probably enjoyed this. We'd love it if you would do the podcast things that people need to do, rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff. And tell a friend, leave a comment on Spotify, just send it to somebody. Our show is absolutely tiny, and we like that. We like that, you know, there's no external pressures on us to do more than what we want to do. That means that we can keep doing it for fun, which is kind of the only reason to do a small show like this. But we think it could be bigger. We think there's so many people out there who would enjoy it. So please consider, you know, spreading the word.
thank you so much. We're going to be taking a break over the summer now, before returning in September with Series 2. We also have plenty more exciting plans of special spin-off episodes that we've got in mind. We want to do more live shows, because that last one that we did was so much fun, and so much more. So thank you again, and we'll see you on the air.